Good morning, everyone. It is the fourth day of January 2022, 2 days before Epiphany. I guess this would make it the 10th of the 12 days of Christmas. 12 days of Christmas, I believe, go December 25th to January 6th, right? Epiphany. And that means that right on cue, we have a storm hitting the East Coast, right? Just like in Shakespeare's Twelfth Night, the Twelfth Night of Christmas, you had, hey ho, the wind and the rain, it raineth every day. Right on cue, we've got the snow and the rain and the wind. What a wonderful storm. As I was driving back to our hidey hole here up in the Adirondack Mountains of New York State, I went through a little bit of a storm myself to get here, coming back from our not quite 12 days of Christmas vacation. Great time to be up here. There is snow all over the mountains, not just up on the high peaks, but all throughout the Adirondacks. Highly recommend a visit, but bring your coat. It is cold out there. Negative temperatures on the Fahrenheit scale the last couple of days. Speaking of the Fahrenheit scale, do you know what the tolerances are in the United States for an infrared medical thermometer? You know, the kind you put on your forehead to take your temperature, that they're putting on the kids' foreheads out in front of the school building to take their temperature? Well, I'll tell you, those tolerances are half a degree, plus or minus 0.5 degrees. So if you're reading 99, your actual temperature could be 99.5 or it could be 98.5. That is a fact that seems to have been lost on our school district here. They dispatched a missive to our homes the other day saying if you're reading 99.0 on your thermometer, then you must stay out of school. It's a little thing called error bars, school district. If you had been in my class, you would have learned about them. Alas, none of our school district administrators were in my class. Ooh, that rhymes. We got the Shakespeare theme going today, baby. All right, let's get into it. Oh, folks. Here is the topic for today. It's a public service day. Public service day here on the podcast. I am going to do you a solid. At least I will do many of you a solid. Because many of you are still like Hayes Brown, MSNBC columnist. Hayes Brown, he published a piece yesterday, January 3rd, 2022, about the CDC and how he doesn't trust them anymore, or at least he trusts them a lot less than he used to. He says that their new isolation guidelines are a communication disaster. He points out entirely correctly that the new guidelines have inspired this hilarious meme format all over Twitter and Facebook and everywhere else. The CDC says, you know, you can do this. The CDC says the 5-second rule is now a 15-second rule. Go ahead and pick up that cookie. All kinds of silliness that the CDC is saying. Here's a quote from Walker. Walker Hayes. He's a great country artist. No, this is Hayes Brown. Here's a quote from Hayes Brown's article yesterday. The feeling of confusion and betrayal from people who think the CDC is prioritizing businesses over saving lives is palpable. Betrayal. That is a strong word, betrayal. Among other things, it implies that Hayes thought the CDC was on his side before. And now Hayes is coming to the conclusion that maybe not, you know, maybe not. I don't know. I'm laughing. I'm shaking my head. I'm SMDH. I'm crying and laughing. I'm crifing if I can portmanteau it. Can you crife? I'm crifing. I am crifing right now because seriously, now is when you're going to start to doubt the CDC. Now is when you're going to start to feel a little distrust. Now is when you think maybe it's not all about the science. Really, it took you, what is it? It's 2022. We are coming on 2 years after this started. And now you're thinking that maybe the CDC is not doing everything based on the science. Hayes Brown, please call me the next time you are about to make a life decision, because you need help. You need help. All right. And it's not just Hayes. It's many people out there. And honestly, folks, you shouldn't feel bad. You shouldn't feel bad that you need help. Not everybody is good at everything. All right. You know, I can't sing very well. A lot of people have trouble with math. A lot of people just have different talents, different things that they're good at. But, you know, you just need to recognize it, right? And the people that are coming to this and coming to this position where, well, maybe the CDC is not entirely on our sides, these are the people that need our help, right? And these are the people that are out there, and these are the people that, you know, they need the do not eat label. People make fun of that silica gel packet that you get in with a new pair of Yeezys or a new pair of boots from Red Wing, and it comes with that little packet in there, silica gel, do not eat. You know, if you don't have common sense, or if you don't have whatever, then you need somebody to tell you these things. And that's okay. That's okay. Everybody needs help in different ways. Some people are not good at detecting when people are lying to them. Some people are not good at judging dangers, judging risks for themselves. Now, that doesn't mean that they should vote into office government agencies who are going to take away our agency, our being the people who actually can make decisions for ourselves and know not to eat the packets that are, you know, in the shoes. You know, those types of actions, extending your nanny oversight committees that you need to help you make good decisions, and forcing everyone else to listen to the people that you elect to take care of your decision making, that's not okay. It's not all right to force your needs onto other people. You have special needs. We get it, and that's okay. We're not judging, right? Everybody has something that they're not good at. And if you're one of the people out there who needs a pencil case to come with a warning on it that says do not stick in ear, okay. Put do not stick on ear in the pencils for you, or only buy pencils that have the appropriate warning labels for you. But the problem comes when you try to force the other people who can make good judgments about these things, the people who don't get into white vans labeled free candy without being told in health class, don't get into a white van labeled free candy. Those people who can make that decision for themselves should not be subject to the dictates of some committee that people who can't make those decisions for themselves elect to take over their decision-making power. You can't assign power of attorney to someone for someone else. Feel free to go ahead and do that for you if you're the type of person who never trusted, or who always trusted, the CDC up until this point. If you're that bad at evaluating government performance and agencies, then you do need help. That's great that you recognize it, but don't impose your needs onto someone else. So that's the first thing today. But now let's do three other things here. First, I'm going to help you understand, if you're a person who's been trusting the CDC up until now, I'm going to help you understand, you know, something about your character, right? Arnold Kling said on his Substack the other day that a lot of people, their identity is wrapped up in the groups that they've been associating with. And so when they encounter new information that logically would ask them to change their mind, or would imply that a change in philosophy was appropriate or even necessary, when people are confronted with this information, they tend to ignore it because they are caught up in their identity and in their social groups, and it's painful for them to change that. It's not going to be logic. In other words, it's going to be a change in character that can bring people to a more helpful, more healthy viewpoint and philosophy, better, more beneficial for themselves philosophy. So that's the first thing I'm going to do for you guys that are, have been trusting the CDC up until now. I'm going to help you with that. I'm going to help you with character. I'm going to help you with insight. And it's not necessarily going to be logic or anything like that. It's just going to be about the new character. Second, I will give you some rules to live by. Actually, I think I'm going to do that third. And then I'm also going to point out that the huge things that the CDC has done to earn your mistrust. So first, we'll talk about character. Second, we'll talk about 10 things the CDC has done to earn your mistrust. And then lastly, we're going to launch off at the end of the program with rules, heuristics, if you will, to help you make it through life. Because, as I say, you know, and don't be ashamed about it. Don't be ashamed. It's okay. People have weaknesses, you know, but if you have been trusting the Center for Disease Control up until this point, you need help. You really do. So I'm going to give you that help, right? So here we go. A red flag guide for the CDC type of stuff goes here. And also, you know, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, you know, I didn't trust the CDC. I've never trusted the CDC. This is not going to be especially useful to me. Well, I think you might get some insight, but let me give you one thing first, right off the bat. Sometimes libertarians, rationalists even wonder why people keep wanting big government. Why do they want an overwhelming, overweening state authority looming over them? Well, it's because of people like this, right? Because of people like Hayes Brown. They need someone looking after them. If they can't, you know, judge for themselves what's right, what's wrong, and whom to trust and whom not to trust, then they do. They need somebody looking over them. And you know, you might think that I'm insulting these people by saying that they need someone looking over them. No, I'm actually giving them a compliment. They recognize that they can't make these judgments for themselves, and so they want somebody to look over them. It's both progressive and rational to realize one's own limitations. It's not an insult to say that, you know, a person who has no common sense should get help. And there are plenty of people with common sense, and it's great if you recognize that you don't have common sense, right? You know, they're politically challenged. Perhaps that's the politically correct way to say it. They're politically challenged. They need help when it comes to these things. And, you know, when I get into the character thing, so let's do that now. Let's get into the character issues here. So if you have been trusting the CDC up until now, that's the first thing you need to realize about your character, if you quite haven't yet, is that you need help, right? And it's okay. It's all right to need help. There's nothing wrong with needing help. But here's the thing. You might not realize that you're in such dire straits. And that's not entirely your fault either, because you've grown up in a school system. Believe me, I know. I've taught in our school system for the last 25 years. You have grown up in a school system that says, ooh, you're perfect. Oh, Johnny, that's amazing. Oh, Susie, you just did a Cherokee diorama that didn't include black slaves on the Trail of Tears. Oh, great job, Susie. You don't need to get the full picture. Great job. Really well done. Oh, Johnny, you just did a gumdrop molecule with the electrons and the protons and the neutrons all the same size, right packed next to each other, and toothpicks holding them together. Oh, that's a great job. No, we don't need to distinguish between forces. We don't need a crazy thing called scale. No, great job, Johnny. Right? And you've been taught these horrible things and these major pieces that aren't hard to include, right? It's not hard to include the scale for an atomic model. It is not hard to say to your kids, oh, and you know, you should understand that the Cherokees also own slaves, and they shipped their slaves to the reservation ahead of them via boat and sea transportation, barge, what have you, so that they'd be waiting for them at the end of the Trail of Tears. You know, it's not hard to include that. Kids get that, but we don't, because our education system is terrible. It's horrible. And so if you're one of these people who is politically challenged and doesn't understand how to evaluate a government, then, you know, you've probably never been told that. You've just been told that you're so smart and you're so awesome and you've got such great self-esteem because you've got self-esteem. See, isn't that a great circular strategy there? You assume you're perfect. You don't understand that you have this problem, maybe, right? So the first thing that I'm going to do for you is just sort of point out that you do have this problem, right? If you're jumping off the cliffs at the flume up here in the Adirondacks, if you're one of those people, and it happens all the time. We see it, up here in the Adirondacks all the time. Somebody goes climbing up a 4,000, 5,000 foot peak in December with no winter boots. If you're one of those people, then I'm going to tell you, I'm doing you a favor. I'm doing you a solid right now. You don't have common sense, right? And that's okay. A lot of people don't have common sense. A lot of people have no money sense. A lot of people have no math sense. A lot of people have no business sense. A lot of people can't sell anything. There are many different talents. Some people can't do public speaking. There are many different talents out there, right? Howard Gardner in the education biz got famous for talking about the multiple types of intelligence. One of the stupidest things he did was employ Orwellian language to do it. Instead of saying something like, oh, he's a good athlete, Howard Gardner said, oh, he's really intelligent in the bodily kinesthetic sense. He has high bodily kinesthetic intelligence. That's dumb. That's dumb. It's not intelligence. It's just being an athlete. But in other respects, Howard Gardner was right. There are different kinds of intelligences, and they're all independent of each other. You can be really smart at physics and not really smart at English. I didn't understand this until I got out of my small hometown and got to college at University of Michigan. The types of intelligences can be completely independent of each other. Smartest, greatest math student I've ever had, she works at Google now, she was in a special ed school due to some other issues, which I don't want to say what they are due to identifying purposes, but she was in a special ed school up until sixth grade, and then she came into my class, and I was like, holy cow. She did the 12th grade physics curriculum on her own, just with minimal guidance from me in sixth grade, and she'd been in a special ed school until sixth grade. So everybody has different intelligences. They can be different from each other, and Howard Gardner gets all that credit for talking about the multiple intelligences, but people forget to realize the corollary of that, which is that there are also multiple types and they're independent of stupidity. You can be stupid in, the musical sense. And like for me, it's oral, A-U-R-A-L. I can read just about anything in French and understand it. And Japanese, they used to be able to. But hearing it was extremely and is still extremely difficult for me. Very hard for me to do. That's just, one of my stupidities. And if you're somebody out there who's been trusting the CDC up until this point, then you need to recognize that that's a weakness for you, that that's an area of challenge for you, and that that's an area where you're going to need some help, right? So maybe you need an IEP in the education biz these days, an individualized education plan, right? When kids need tests read aloud to them or extra time on tests or a low stimulus testing environment because, they're like, if the fan turns on in the middle of the test, they're like a dog going squirrel, 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 and they can't concentrate. So they get an IEP. So we all need an IEP in something. And I'm telling you that if you had trusted the CDC up until now, then you need an IEP in evaluating government performance. You just do. And that's the first thing. I guess that's about it for the first thing. Just realize that you do need help and be careful. You don't want to impose your needs on anybody else. Just because you need help in this area doesn't mean that you should elect somebody who forces everybody to do what they think, because the person you elect to take care of your decision making won't necessarily be better than anybody else. So you shouldn't force it on anyone. Even if you did think it was better than another person might do, it's still not right to force it on them. All right, so that's the first thing. The first thing to do is to realize that you've got a problem if you were trusting the CDC up until now, right? Hayes Brown and everybody out there who's with him, And as of last summer, by the way, it was about 70%. Gallup poll, was it Gallup poll? Or Pew, I have it right here. It is, actually it's Annenberg. Annenberg Public Policy Center from UPenn. As of last summer, the confidence in the CDC was like 70%, 71%. Even among people who rely mainly on conservative media for their news, it was still like 50% confidence in Fauci and 60-some% confidence in the CDC, like two-thirds, 67%. Wow. But that's as of last summer. I didn't see anything more recent than that. I can only hope that it's gone down. So that's first thing. If you're trusting the CDC up until now, understand that something in your character ought to change to give you your best shot at a happy life, to give you your best shot at a meaningful life, to give you your best shot at being content, happy, satisfied, and pleased. All right, that's the first thing, character. Second thing I'm going to do for you is go through the red flags, right? The top 10 reasons not to trust the CDC. You can call them early warning signs, right? Remember Espilat's great poem, Ryan Espilat's great poem, Vignette. It's about Andromache. She's Hector's wife, of course, and she's pregnant with Hector's baby, and she's out walking the walls of Troy, and she hears this cry, and she gets all scared, and then she looks over, and she's like, oh, it's just a gull, right? And there's this great line. She says, oh, it's just a gull. It's a gull circling a sail, approaching neither slow nor fast. What a great pun, a sail. A sail, do you hear the pun there? Because the sail is coming to assail Troy. Oh, I love it. I love poetry. So that's it. Because that ship out there that Andromache is seeing, she gets scared by the gull, and then she looks out and she says, oh, it's just a gull going around a sail, no big deal. But it turns out that the sail is the first ship of the Achaeans coming to visit war upon Ilium, upon Troy. Yes. Oh, those were the days going through the Lattimore translation. Loved that. So here, that's just like Andromache saw the warning sign there. Coming up, I'm going to go through the warning signs here. These are the CDC's gull circling its sails as the pandemic approaches, and the next one is coming, right? The next one absolutely is coming. Pandemic approaches neither slow nor fast, and the next one will be worse. Okay, number one reason not to trust the CDC, lying about masks. CDC said for decades, it wasn't just, you know, that it came up now. For decades, 2002, 2009, it was the CDC's constant advice that for respiratory viral diseases like those caused by SARS, now SARS-CoV-2, like those, the CDC's advice for decades was that masks didn't work. They don't help for viruses like this. And then, of course, the CDC changed. They started out by saying, oh, you don't need masks, don't buy masks, people stop buying masks. And then the CDC really quickly, within a month, said, oh, hold up. You actually should wear masks. We only told you something that wasn't true. We only lied to you because we didn't want you to buy masks and deplete the supply chain because medical people need them more, right? Never mind that there are many studies failing to find any surgical site infection mitigation by masks. Never mind that the CDC had to know that cloth masks could be made easily, and therefore they could be put into place without depleting what's needed for the medical professionals. Never mind that the idea was for source control, not self-protection, yet the medical professionals on the job were not sources and were in fact supposed to be wearing them for self-protection. Never mind all that. We don't need any logical consistency here. Just forget it, right? The point is that the CDC lied to you about masks, and then they changed it, and they admitted that they were lying to you, and they said, we're lying to you for your own good. All right, so that's the first warning sign, is that they are lying to you. By their own admission, they are lying to you. That's a red flag. Though, of course, they're going to tell you it's for your own good. Whoever lies to you and says, oh, yeah, I lied to you, but it's because I was really trying to hurt you. People don't say that. You say, I lied to you, but, you know, here's why. Here's why. It's really a good thing. That's how it goes, man. It's like an abusive relationship. You got to recognize it. Of course, the abuser's going to say, you know, it's for your own good, or I really didn't mean it, or here was my thought process, it's really not that bad. The abuser is never going to come out and say, yeah, I'm abusing you. Okay, come on, come on. See that. Next red flag, number two. The most prominent members of the CDC, like Tony Fauci, were going around lying in their private lives, not just publicly, but also privately. The worst one, or the most prominent one, I guess I should say, was again about masks, right? If you look at the FOIA'd emails from Tony Fauci, you can see that he repeated the same lie, the same masks are useless advice, in a private email to his supposed friend, who was president of the American University at the time, Sylvia Burwell. Sylvia was traveling internationally. She could have been a carrier. She could have exposed others to the virus. She could have exposed herself to the virus. And she emailed this guy she thought was her friend, Tony Fauci, calls him Tony, and she says, hey, should I wear a mask? Should I bring a mask? Blah, 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 blah. And according to the official CDC story now, Fauci knew at that time that masks were effective. He knew that masks should be used. He knew that cloth masks were effective and could be used and obtained easily without impacting the medical professional. But he chose to tell his friend no. He told her, no, they're really not effective. The particles are too small. They'll get through the mask. It doesn't matter. You shouldn't bring your mask. Go on your trip and don't worry about a mask. This is what he said to his friend when, according to the official CDC story, he knew better. All right? That's a red flag. That's your number two red flag. When the most famous members of an organization, the most prominent members, the de facto chiefs, are going around lying to their friends in their private lives about important stuff, you know, that is a red sign. The CDC here, they're lying like a beagle mom with nine puppies to evacuate. They are lying. Next, number three reason that we have to not trust the CDC. Well, how about this one? At the start of the pandemic, they were still using fax machines and faxes, one per case at the start of this pandemic. The Washington State brought in 25 National Guardsmen to assist with the data entry, right? The Politico.com, you can look on May 10th, 2020, they've got an article saying the technology blitz left behind public health. Technology blitz didn't leave behind public health. Give me a break. Public health ignored technology. Public health chose to sit on its fat ass in Atlanta and drink a mimosa every morning and report into work about 11 o'clock, making the orange vests in the city trucks look like they're hard at work. The CDC chose to not keep up with the times. Title from Politico, Technology Blitz Left Behind Public Health. No. For fuck's sake, it is the CDC who chose not to update themselves. They got a $12 billion annual budget, and they're still using fax machines. Politico wants us to think it's not their fault. No. Hard pass. Okay? Definitely not. Not buying it. That is the precise moment when you say you're outie. Right? Like Sharon Dion, Audi, and you never, ever, ever look back. Go work at Pismo Beach Disaster Relief Fund. Do not help the CDC, because if they're working on faxes at the start of a pandemic in 2020, that is on them. That is on them. They got to own that. All right. So that's the next reason to not trust the CDC. Number four reason. How about the vaccines? Right? The CDC has been overestimating their ability and their effectiveness since the get-go. They completely failed to understand that these vaccines would not be sterilizing vaccines. Instead would be, admittedly, it is unusual, but it's their job to understand this, the type of vaccine that allows transmission. Remember when Rochelle, on her strange epidemiological journey from Milan to Minsk, Rochelle Walensky said, vaccinated people do not carry the virus. That's a quote. That's a quote. She said it. Vaccinated people do not carry the virus. Well, it turns out they do carry the virus. See, Walensky can say words, But to have the words actually be true is a whole other job. Anybody can just say words, but the truth, that's really the important part, isn't it? To continue my Seinfeld references here, right? And, you know, to be fair, it's unusual. It's uncommon to have a vaccine that allows for such transmission. But then again, the CDC has a $12 billion a year budget, and it's their job. It's like Scott Norwood for the Bills in the Super Bowl. He's a field goal kicker. He had one job, and then he blew it, missed his field goal. That's what's happened to epidemiology. They are the Scott Norwoods of the sciences. They had one job, and they blew it. Number five reason not to trust the CDC. You don't trust an organization whose leaders say that they shouldn't be questioned and that it's morally wrong to question them, right? That's exactly what Fauci did. That's exactly what he did with his "I am science" statement on that Sunday morning talk show. So remember that a couple weeks ago? He said that to question him was to question the very power of science itself. The mere act of wondering whether Fauci was right or not made you a science denier. If you wondered whether Fauci was telling the truth or not, then that meant that you were against science and you wanted to live in a dirt cave and eat worms, right? A lot of people still live in caves. Not disparaging the people who still live in caves, right? Those karst limestone caves in central western China, I mean, they're nice caves. They got really good caves over there in China these days. Got refrigerators and electricity in those caves. A lot of people living in those karst caves. Go look it up if you don't know about that. It's pretty interesting. Of course, you walk through Manhattan, those things look like cliff dwellings too, pretty much. I'd rather be in a Manhattan cliff dwelling than a karst cave in mid-central China, though. Anyway, the point is that Fauci said that he was science, and it's this cult of personality, and he's buying into it himself. And he says, if you question me, then you are actually against science. That, you know, the truth is diametrically opposed to that. The truth is, in fact, if you don't question everything, then you are not practicing science. Come on, for Fauci to say that, that's the guy who puts roofies in your drink, right? That is the guy who says, trust me, I know what's better than you. Don't even think. Turn your brain off. Fauci has been roofying the public discourse for the past 2 years, and I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. Give me a break. He's been caught red-handed so many times. Never trust an organization that claims infallibility. Maybe Fauci should change his name to a medieval pope's name, right? Right? He's claiming infallibility. They're basically selling indulgences over there at the CDC and the NIAID, right? Oh yeah, sure. No, we'll forgive you if you run your coronavirus lab at BSL-2, as long as you have the right political connections, as long as you donate money, as long as you keep the wheels of government rent-seeking commerce flowing, then sure, you get an indulgence. It's fine to run your lab at BSL-2 over there. Yeah, no problem. Oh, it's just so bad. Number six reason not to trust the CDC. They can't communicate. They can't communicate at all. They insist on treating the country like a bad teacher talks to idiots, you know, and the country isn't entirely idiots, right? If you're trusting the CDC, it doesn't mean you're an idiot overall. It means you've got one weakness. You know what? Even if the country were all idiots, you still don't communicate badly. For idiots, you need even more clear speech. You need even more honesty. But CDC, like a bad teacher, they see that somebody in their class is getting it or that somebody's slow, and then they throw the simple approach out the window and they try to get fancy. And they try to do this and they try to do that instead of just saying, this is it, now practice it, and saying the same thing 100 times. They try to get fancy and they do some ridiculous, cool new method called, we'll lie to you at this time, and then we'll tell you that we lied, so it's okay, and then we'll proceed from there, right? And they never say, like a bad teacher again, the CDC never says the three simple words, I don't know. They're afraid to say it. They shouldn't be. even morons, maybe even especially morons, given their limited understanding, even morons can understand when somebody else doesn't know something. Morons are very familiar with not knowing something. It makes sense if somebody doesn't know something, right? But people are afraid to say it constantly. Here's a little teacher truth. And the CDC should get this too. It actually builds trust when you say you don't know something. It builds trust because then when you talk about something that you do know, people believe you. And they say, oh, if this guy didn't know what he's talking about, he'd tell us. So he does know this. It builds trust to admit when you don't know something. And the CDC doesn't get that. They're terrible, terrible at communicating. They act like they're a third grader trying to cover up that she broke her brother's Nintendo Switch screen. Lies, evasion, blame shifting. They do techno babble too. It's like watching Jordy LaForge invoking Rene Girard, scapegoat theory, mimetic desire, to explain why the warp drive is actually a Romulan go-kart that you have to Flintstone your feet out the bottom to make it go. I mean, it's just ridiculous what's going on over there. They're terrible at communicating. That's number six. Number seven, going along with number six, not only are they terrible at communicating, but they still don't have a model to show us. They can't model this pandemic worth a damn. Their best computer models in the summer of 2020, they were terrible. They were all over the board. They predicted anything from, existential humanity-destroying plague to pretty much nothing. The best models were from amateurs like Human Gang. The CDC was completely outclassed in terms of modeling by amateurs, and yet they have a $12 billion budget. You don't trust that agency. That is a reason not to trust an agency when one of its core functions is being beaten decisively, clearly, in only a month by amateurs. That's when you stop trusting the organization. Number eight. You don't trust an organization that doesn't learn from its mistakes, right? Was the CDC ready for the Delta wave after, right, the first wave, Alpha, I guess we're calling it, came through? Were they ready for that Delta? Did they have everything all set now? All their ducks in a row now? Heck no. No, that would be a no, they weren't ready at all. And then Xi, right? Xi is what I call the Omicron variant because I think y'all are being wimps bowing down to Xi Jinping by not calling it the Xi variant. That's the only reason they skipped it. Give me a break. So the Xi variant comes out now, and it's raging across the globe. Was the CDC ready for that? Nope, not ready for that. Even, 18, 19, 20 months later, the CDC still wasn't ready to identify, wasn't ready to test, wasn't ready to trace this new variant. Blindsided, right? Sandra Bullock, boom! CDC was like, oh, really? There was another wave coming? Oh, man. Bummer, dude. Can't believe that. Yeah, it's kind of your job, right? That's unbelievable. But of course, there's this motive for them to not be ready. Plenty of motives, but it's a little bit of is the weatherman phenomenon, right? They get a lot more power, a lot more respect, a lot more attention when there is a pandemic going on. So like the weatherman in those hurricanes, and they're like, ooh, this hurricane's really bad. Oh, this is terrible. And you can tell that they really like the hurricane. That's what's going on in the CDC and the pandemic too, right? They're like, ooh, this pandemic's really terrible. Ooh, it's so bad. Yeah. But you can tell that they kind of like it. They kind of like the attention. They kind of like the power. Number nine, and that's a big reason not to trust them, right? They haven't learned from their mistakes. And they've got that motive that you can just tell, right? Under the surface, it's bubbling. Next reason not to trust the CDC, number nine, don't trust an organization that stands in the way of progress, right? Testing, I'm thinking of here. It was a lot the FDA, but it was also the CDC. They stood in the way of testing. They also had stupid turf fights. Remember those reports of the CDC officials standing outside the FDA offices refusing to go in, or the FDA offices were locked against them, and then the CDC locked their offices so the FDA agents couldn't get into their offices. It was insane. It was puerile. It was my 5-year-old and 7-year-old standing outside each other's bedroom doors throwing temper tantrums, and that's when you stop trusting an agency, an organization. Okay, number 10. This is the biggest reason of all not to trust the Center for Disease Control. Here's the big reason. It's pretty obvious, at least to most people. Sorry if this isn't obvious to you. That's okay. That's okay. I don't mean to insult you. Just need to recognize that you need some help in this area. All right? But hey, that's what I'm here for. All right, so number 10, this is the biggest red flag, the biggest reason not to trust the CDC. They didn't do their job, right? They're the Center for Disease Control. Is this disease controlled? No. Is it on the way to being controlled? No. We still had a pandemic. We still have a pandemic. How are we doing compared to other countries? Maybe it's just so bad that other countries are doing, you know, just as bad or worse than we are. Well, let's look. Deaths per capita. Nope, we're ranked number 20 out of over 200 in the world. We're in the bottom of 10% of these countries. Worse than Mexico. Worse than Canada. Way worse. Way worse than Sweden, which, remember, didn't do mandated public masking for a long time, kept their schools open, kept their public places open, et cetera, no lockdowns ever. And we're doing way worse than Sweden. We're way, 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 way worse than Nicaragua. We are 200 times worse off than Nigeria, home to the second or third biggest film industry in the world, Nollywood. If you're not aware, love Nollywood. Shout out to the Nollywood fans. Nollywood's doing great. They're still making movies. They're still going over theaters there. 200 times the United States worse than Nigeria in deaths per capita. 200 times worse than Nigeria. The CDC simply failed us. It's been obvious from the start. Who do you think sailed those ships, those emergency ships into New York City Harbor at the start of the pandemic when we thought we needed extra hospital rooms? Was it the CDC with their $12 billion per year budget? Were they all ready to go? Nope. Nope, that was the U.S. Navy. Who had all those tests ready to go that the FDA then banned and wouldn't let us use? Was it the CDC? No. No, it wasn't. It was private citizens and academics. Who created the vaccines? Was it the CDC? Were they ready to control the epidemic with their awesome new vaccines and their mRNA technology? Nope, that wasn't the CDC either. That was Bob Malone, if you believe Bob Malone, and it was private enterprise and foreign governments. Who learned quickly and adapted as fast as nimbly as the virus itself so that we were ready for the Delta and the G variant? No, not the CDC. Who had a hospital workflow overplan? A work overflow plan, a backup healthcare emergency workforce, supply of PPE, a prepared response drilled into us, ready to go? No, not the CDC. Come on, they're not doing their job. Think about it. We drill for fires. We drill for shooters. We drill for air raid sirens, right? A lot of communities still have air raid sirens. Hawaii's got that public alert system that they scared everybody to death with the incoming North Korea missiles a year or two ago, a couple of years ago, I guess now. We have signs. You ever driven along the side, drive to, you know, the coast in Maine or OBX or somewhere, and you got all those signs set up or you know, Long Beach down outside New York City? Nobody ever realizes New York City's a beach town unless they live there. We have signs set up for flood zone evacuations. They're all over. FEMA has trailers. They have wildfire trailers, earthquake trailers, mudslide trailers, floods, hurricanes. They're ready to go. We have dams, we have levees for the hurricanes. You know, we are ready to go for all these kinds of disasters. Were we ready to go for a plague? Nope. Nope. CDC didn't have us ready. We knew it was coming. Plagues always do come. The next one's coming. It's going to be worse. We should be planning for it right now. Where are our coastal flood zone signs for the pandemic? Where's our stockpile of PPE? Maybe they're finally doing that. But they sure didn't have it ready to go for this one. Because the CDC is incompetent. Because they are failures. Because we should not trust them. People have been saying FDA Delenda Est. Well, that's true. But also CDC Delenda Est. Okay, now here we go. The last thing I'm going to do for you, the third thing. So the first thing I did for you was talk about character, and you got to do some introspection and realize that if you were trusting the CDC up until now, you know, that's okay. No judgment zone here, but you just have to realize that you need some help. And number two, I listed those 10 reasons, right? Lying about masks, the leaders lie privately in their private lives. I'm going through the 10 reasons here again. Number one, lying about masks. Number two, the leaders lie in their private lives too. About their matters of import. Number three, the CDC was hopelessly outclassed by tech, hopelessly left behind by the entire rest of the world. They chose not to keep up with their technology. They were still using fax machines. Number four, they got the vaccines wrong. Walensky said vaccinated people did not carry a virus. Number five, you don't trust an organization whose leaders are building a cult of personality around themselves and say, I am science and you can't question me. Number six, their communication is appallingly bad and is a huge clue that the rest of the agency probably sucks as well. Number seven, you know, that they're not prepared for having a model for the pandemic. Number eight, it doesn't learn from their mistakes. They didn't get ready for the next waves. Number nine, they stood in the way of progress, actively shutting down testing, actively messing around with mass distribution. They, if you even believe that works, which I do not, but they did, or they say they do, and they stood in the way of that. And number 10, they didn't do their job. They didn't control a disease. They didn't make it better. They still don't have it under control 2 years later. They didn't have us prepared. Those are all the reasons. Now, let's talk about some simple rules you can have going forward so that this doesn't happen to you again, so that you know when to stop trusting a government agency or any organization. It doesn't have to be the government. Certainly doesn't have to be the federal government. It could be anybody. It could be the Eagles down the block, right? The Federal Order of Eagles. It could be the Ladies Church Muffin Club, whatever. Any organization. Let's think about it. First thing, this isn't one of the rules, but let me just remind you, you need to make sure you don't have Gell-Mann amnesia, right? What is Gell-Mann amnesia? Well, Murray Gell-Mann, Nobel physics laureate, quarks, everything, not everything, but he did quarks. And according to my physics professors, he was a B student. And yet he came through with hard work, perseverance, shrewd choice of research topics. Murray came through and had an amazing career, a world-class, absolutely tip-top world-class career. But Murray Gell-Mann was talking with Michael Crichton. Michael Crichton, of course, wrote Jurassic Park and all kinds of other great things like the Andromeda Strain. And Crichton says, well, you got to make sure you don't have Gell-Mann amnesia, because he and Gell-Mann noticed a strange phenomenon about people. Back in the day, they were reading newspapers. Now it could be internet, could be anything. And hold on, I got somebody at the door here. Well, gotta love the Adirondacks. You tell people to stop by, and they do. I like where I live. Got some people working downstairs now, and I have relocated. So anyway, let's finish up here talking about Murray Gell-Mann and Gell-Mann amnesia. And Crichton and Gell-Mann, what they noticed is that people would be reading the newspapers and they would read a page of the newspaper or an article in the newspaper, a column about some topic in which they were experts. The reader was an expert. So let's say, you know, maybe I'm an expert in Dungeons and Dragons and I'm reading an article in the Detroit News about Dungeons and Dragons. And I read it and I realize this guy really doesn't know what he's talking about. He has nothing like the knowledge of an expert here. But then I flip the page and I start reading about a topic which I'm less expert in, like perhaps the theater scene. The theater scene going on in Detroit or New York City or something. And I read that and I just assume that the writer knows what they're talking about. And that's Gell-Mann amnesia. When you read a topic, when you are learning about a topic in the newspaper, from mass media, from some other source like that, And you just assume that they know what they're talking about, even though you know very well from your own experiences reading that source on topics that you are expert in, you know that that source is unreliable. But then when you go to a topic you're not expert in, you forget how unreliable the source is. So, you know, that's something that you need to keep in mind here, both for me, never take my word for anything. You should always double check it with your own brain, always double check it against your own experience, always double check it using your second brain, that is the internet, and everything else that is out there. Check me against reality. Don't just take my word for it either. Don't have Murray Gell-Mann amnesia with me. But also, especially, you don't want to have Murray Gell-Mann amnesia when it comes to the government, right? When it comes to evaluating a government performance or business performance or anything else, if you're not an expert in something, and sort of by definition, the people I'm speaking to today are not experts. I'm talking the ones who are still trusting the Center for Disease Control up until the year 2022. So if you're not an expert in something, you don't want to have Gell-Mann amnesia. You don't want to forget that that the government or whatever source you're evaluating really might not have any idea what it's doing. And so what you should do is find something that you are expert in and look and see how the government's doing in that field, or how a business is doing in that field, or how any organization is doing in something you are expert in. And then you'll see that, oh, maybe they're not so competent. And then you should keep that in mind and say, oh, well, maybe in these other fields that I'm not expert in, maybe I shouldn't trust them in those fields either. Maybe they're just as bad in those fields as they are in the fields that I am qualified to judge them in. Right? Do you see what I'm saying there? What I'm saying is that if you're an expert in a particular area and you look at the government and you say, oh, they're doing a bad job here, then when you go to another area that you're not expert in, your default position really should be, oh, the government's probably doing a bad job here too. Because in the area that I'm an expert in, I know they're doing a bad job. Teachers are the worst at this. Teachers have Gell-Mann amnesia all the time. Teachers constantly complain about the state interfering with their curriculum, about the state trying to teach them how to teach. And they say, oh, the state doesn't get it. You know, the state education department, they don't understand what kids are really like. They don't understand how schools should be run. They don't understand what the curriculum should really be. They just don't get it. The state does a horrible job with education. But then these same teachers just go out and they assume that they should vote for the government to be in charge of electricity, in charge of water, in charge of healthcare, in charge of transportation. They forget that the government is doing a horrible job in the thing that they're able to judge in, so, and they just go, oh, well, it's probably doing a great job in all these other areas, though. It makes no sense to me. So avoid Gell-Mann amnesia. That's just kind of the prologue to this section. All right, now the last section here for today are these heuristics I promised you, these simple rules. So if you have realized that you need help, if you realize that you're one of these people who trusts the CDC, and therefore you've got some work to do in this area of how to evaluate an agency, here are some simple rules for you. Number one, if the organization lies to you, don't trust them. It sounds silly, right? It sounds like silly, but you know, it's not. People say it to the abuser, to abused victims of domestic violence all the time, right? If your abuser is abusing you, you shouldn't trust them. You shouldn't go back to them. Well, I'm telling you, if an organization lies to you, don't trust them. And admitting the lies doesn't make it better. Just because the abuser says, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it, here's what I was really trying to do, that doesn't make abuse okay. Same thing with lies. CDC said, oh, yeah, we lied to you, but here's why, and we were doing it for your own good, blah, blah, blah. No, nothing makes lying and abuse and deceit okay. That's the first rule. If the organization lies to you, don't trust them. Second rule, if the organization fails to do its job, don't trust it, right? So let's say, you don't get it. You don't get government. You don't get how to evaluate it. And I need you to understand that. You just don't get it. That's all right. It's hard to figure out what the job was, maybe. So here's a tip. If you're not sure what an organization's job was, look at its name. For example, Center for Disease Control. Its job is to control the disease. And then you ask, did they do that? Is coronavirus controlled? No, then they're not doing their job and you don't trust them, right? So that's the second rule. If the organization fails to do its job, then you don't trust it, okay? Number three rule, if the organization's leaders are ignorant about the most basic issues of their own job, then don't trust them. Remember Rochelle Walensky, chief of the CDC, said, if you're vaccinated, you can't carry the virus. That's a quote, right? The CDC put out model after model after model, especially in 22 before they realized that they were just incapable of doing, and 2020 before they realized they were incapable of putting out a good model. They put out model after model after model that predicted futures wildly divergent from what has actually transpired. Fauci predicted we'd see 100,000 to 200,000 deaths. Now, you know, models and predictions, they can be wrong. But the CDC trusted their models. They didn't even know that their models were super wrong back in 2020. So that's your next pro tip. If the organization leaders don't know their basic information and aspects of their job, don't trust them. And it's not just the CDC. You might think, of course, the leader knows the basics about their job, but no, that is absolutely not true. Jennifer Granholm, Secretary of Energy, Department of Energy, just gave us a great example of that a couple weeks ago. Remember when she was asked by that interviewer what she was going to do, what the Department of Energy was going to do to combat high gas and oil prices, and she laughed. She laughed. She acted like it was impossible. She blamed OPEC, and she said OPEC controls gas prices. She completely vouchsafed her answer, condescended, total condescension, and talked down to the interviewer, and she's like, well, of course the United States can't do anything about gas prices. There's this little thing called OPEC, she said, and they're the ones that just, you know, we can't do anything about that. It's all up to them. She seemed completely unaware. This is the leader, the secretary of the Department of Energy, seemed completely unaware that the United States is actually the world's largest oil producer and the world's largest oil exporter. Now, for the last couple of years, she seemed completely ignorant of that. It is not just the CDC. So that's your third rule. If the organization's leaders are ignorant about the most basic issues of their own job, don't trust them. All right, here's your last simple rule. Number four, if the organization tells you to use things that don't work, you don't trust them. Now, you might think I'm talking about masks. I could be. But no, actually, let's look at tests. I definitely could be talking about masks, but let's look at tests. This is from NPR. I believe this was from November. It said, Review bears out. Reporting from NPR in November revealed a small infectious disease lab at the CDC was aware that the coronavirus test kit it had developed could fail 33% of the time, but released it. Anyway, they put out there this test kit that they knew was going to fail one out of every three times. You know, also like cloth masks, like I say, finally people are starting to admit that they don't work, but the CDC is still telling you to use them. Also wiping down surfaces, right? They told you to do that. That doesn't work. Also 6 feet social distancing. Also the SEIR model of epidemiology. The CDC knows these things don't work, but it kept telling people to use them anyway. So that's your last rule, simple heuristic. If the organization tells you to do things that don't work, then you don't trust the organization. Okay. All right. So that's our public service. We ran a little bit long today with our PSA episode of the podcast coming up on 1 hour. Holy shnikes. But it was important. It was important. I've tried to be clear and direct. I hope that some people have had some benefit from it. So remember, the three parts were, number one, if you're still trusting the CDC up until this point, like Hayes Brown from MSNBC here or CNBC, you need to understand that that's a problem, and you've got some work to do on your character, right? And the red flags, I gave you 10 reasons not to trust the CDC, and the 10th most important one is that they haven't done their job. And then I give you 4 simple rules. Number 1, if the organization lies to you, don't trust it. Number 2, if the organization fails to do its job, don't trust it. Number 3, if the leaders are ignorant about the most basic issues of their job, don't trust them. And number 4, if the organization is telling you to use things that don't work, don't trust the organization. Okay? So those are your simple rules that I want to launch you with out into the wider world. I hope it helps. Notice that I'm not saying just listen to me. I am science. I'm not saying just listen to Scott Alexander. Don't just listen to some other expert. This is not an appeal to authority by any means. No, you must use your own mind. If your own mind isn't worth using after all, then it's not worth saving. But it is. It is worth using. It is worth saving. And use it. Use the rules that I just gave you. And hey, cheers. Here is to a great 2022. If you enjoyed the podcast, if you found it helpful, please like, please subscribe, please comment. Find me on Twitter, adkhomeroom.com or adkhomeroom.substack.com. Take care, everybody. FDA and CDC, Delenda Est.